If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show on your home for SKC Soccer Sports Radio 810 WHB. And of course, everywhere that you can get your podcasts, whether that's on iTunes, on Spotify, by asking Alexa, however you do it, we appreciate you listening to the podcast or listening to us at 810WHB.com as well. We have a very good show for you today because it's game week, baby. Finally, the first regular season game of 2020 for Sporting Kansas City is coming up this weekend at the Vancouver Whitecaps. We do not have Carter Augustine or Ali Trost this week. We're going to do one better. We've got the answer, Jacob Peterson, with me today. And coming up on the show, we're going to be joined by Kerry Zavagnin of the coaching staff and by Kyrie Shelton as we are out here exclusively set up in our plush broadcast suite at Pinnacle, where we just watched training for Sporting Kansas City moments ago. Jacob, we liked you so much on the show last week. We're having you back on for an encore. How's it going, man?
It is going great, Nate. I'm very happy to be here, and I'm really excited, finally, now that the real games start this weekend.
You and I got 10 days in Scottsdale, Arizona. We enjoyed some wonderful weather there. We had some bonding time climbing Mount Camelback and making that beautiful drive to Tucson, Arizona, and back a couple of different times where we sorted out a lot of things. But mostly, we got to watch this team play a lot. And I don't know about you. I came away from Arizona with some ideas in my mind about what I think of this team. But if anything, I almost just came away with even more curiosity as to how this thing's going to look once we get into soccer games that really matter. What about you? How did you come away from that 10 days in Arizona?
Yeah, well, I do miss the weather. I'm not going to lie. As I'm sitting here with gloves on
and
inside.
And a stocking cap. Yeah.
And a hat on, yes. I got used to that 75 and sunny every single day.
Yep.
So besides the weather, though, I was really excited now that I'm on this side of things to see how preseason goes from the other, where when you're a player, you're just kind of worried about yourself, getting your fitness in, and that whole thing. You're not really looking at the big picture of it all. You know, that's more the coach's job. So for me, it was actually really cool to be on this side and kind of seeing, you know, talking to the coaches and us talking on the sidelines at training and figuring out, man, they got some players and they got really some good position battles that we've talked about. But, man, I'm really excited to just get this thing kicked off on Saturday and then everything will kind of sort itself out.
I think preseasons in every sport are always so interesting because, for me, it's been a puzzle my entire career trying to decide how to evaluate preseason accurately, because sometimes I feel like a team can have what looks like a great camp and then they get into the regular season and it doesn't translate. Sometimes I feel like a team can look like what looks like a bad camp and then they get into the regular season and it looks totally different. As a guy that played in the league for over a decade, did you find any common denominators from the teams that really did well once the regular season started? What can you actually really take from preseason other than the guys just getting up to fitness?
Yeah, I mean, look, if you have a great preseason and you win every single game, then you're like, oh, yeah, winning is contagious. Look, we're on a roll. Yeah. If you lose every single game and you don't play well, you're like, oh, it's just preseason. It doesn't really matter. I mean, we talked about it, but I told you that the year that the Detroit Lions went 0-16, they were 4-0 in the preseason.
Right.
So for me,
right,
it, and I know football and soccer are different, but for me, the results don't matter. It's every day in training, yes, getting the fitness up, but it's that every day in training, the performances, what you're working on as a team. And, you know, you talk to some players and, you know, maybe they're trying to accomplish this during this game or drill. And we're watching from the outside like, oh, they're not scoring or whatever. So there's just all these little things that – so for me, it's more about the performances and kind of how the team is taking shape as opposed to – all right, you're winning every game 10-0. Yes, that'd be great, but ultimately that to me doesn't really hold much credence.
One of the guys that I would say that stood out to me the most during our 10 days down there was Gadi Kinda. I'm not trying to suggest that he's the only guy that looked good, but boy, there was something about the way he played that just jumped out, and it was kind of a conversation with everybody we talked to, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really obvious, and I know that you don't want to get too hyped about players and whatnot this early, but it's like every single training session, every single game, he stood out, and it was consistently like that, which you don't see very often at this high of a level. So for me, I'm thinking that's a really good sign. Now that creates another problem, though, because Felipe was injured most of that preseason, and kind of what Peter and Carey and the staff do with that midfield group now, I just think, one, it's good. It's a good problem to have, but it kind of complicates things now as you figure out, do you just get your best players on the field, or do you get your best collective group of players? And, man, that's a tough one.
It's going to be interesting to see the way that shakes out, plus some other position battles as well. And we've got a lot to sort through, and we probably won't know 100% what this team looks like even a few games into the season. But we will finally get to see them playing games that matter starting on Saturday night against the Vancouver Whitecaps, 9:30 at night, right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB and on Fox Sports Kansas City in the Fox Sports app. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Sporting Kansas City assistant coach Kerry Zavagnin will join us. We'll also be joined by Kyrie Shelton, and Jacob and I will give some thoughts on this matchup against Vancouver as we continue with the Sporting Kansas City show. And the first regular season edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show continues on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB, and of course everywhere you get your podcasts. We appreciate you subscribing, downloading, liking the podcast, whether that's on iTunes, Spotify, however it is you get your podcast. We appreciate it, and we are underway. This is game week for Sporting Kansas City as they take on the Vancouver Whitecaps at 9:30 Central Time on Saturday night. Nate Bucati along with Jacob Peterson, joined now by Sporting Kansas City legendary player and assistant coach Kerry Zavagnin. Kerry, what's up, man? How are you?
Everything is great. Looking forward to the year.
Okay, so you're looking forward to the year, and I know because Jacob and I were just down in Arizona with you guys for 10 days, you got to be just dying to get the regular season going. Does this feel like it's been just the longest off season for you guys?
Yes and no. Yes, from the standpoint, obviously we ended early last year. It was a lengthy off season, but our preseason was relatively quick. At least it felt quick. We didn't have Champions League this year. We're not in Albuquerque. We're not on the cusp of a second leg, like some of the Champions League teams are right now. And so, I think to be able to take a step back from the rigors of that competition. Really leaves us fresh. It leaves us eager and relatively healthy at this point. So we're ready to go.
Yeah, and on that point, obviously, last year's was very different from this year as far as preseason and offseason. Could you maybe let us know how this differed as far as your training schedules and all of that as opposed to last season?
Yeah, there were so many things logistically that we had to deal with going into last year. Obviously, playing at altitude, the players in preseason slept in the altitude tents. So that's just one simple example of the complexity that last year brought for us. In terms of the training program, I think the off-season training program was changed slightly. It allowed the players to kind of build into it and establish a really high foundation base of fitness. And I think that was different when you look at coming into last year, in that I think we had 4 weeks off from the loss to Portland and as we started preseason. So it was really a rest and recovery and then hit the ground running at full speed. And so I think we've had a much different progression into this year, which is the reason I think why players look and feel a lot fresher coming into this first game.
It's so interesting, the different traditions and norms in different sports, because I talk to a lot of my buddies that are not big soccer fans, and even this offseason they're like, wow, you guys are already playing again? Because compared to the other traditional American sports, this has still been a short offseason.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about 5 to 6 months off in the other sports, where this, we're talking, what, 3 to 4 months off for a long offseason, yet when I hear the guys are like, man, the offseason was pretty long, and it's just, but why is it, maybe for those of our listeners that don't understand, why is it that it's better for soccer players to have a smaller offseason than maybe in some of the other sports?
I think it just takes a while to build up your foundation to play the game. And when you look at relative to the rest of the world, I mean, you know, teams and countries, they have 4 weeks off, and the first 2 weeks are to recover, and the next two weeks are to just kind of build your body back into it. I think other sports, and we were talking about it today, the NFL, a lot is on air right now about the NFL, and they're in their off season. They don't start till August. We just saw the Chiefs win the Super Bowl a few weeks back, and we're waiting till August to see another football game. So
yeah.
I think soccer is, you know, it's a different type of sport. You have to have a strong base of endurance. You have to always be on the cusp of being able to play a full 90 minutes. And I think when you take 3 to 4 months off, it can be a negative because it takes a while to build up that kind of base and ability to play the game. And, you know, your body gets used to a lot of different things, and it can adapt to a lot of different things. And I think our players and soccer players in general are really functioning at their best when they're off for 3 to 4 weeks and then they get back to it.
Yeah. Although I'm sure there's some guys who would like a little bit more time off.
Yeah, that's it. As you get older, I think you ask for a few more weeks from time to time.
Right. But on that, then, kind of moving into the preseason and performances, how do you think the fitness then was, especially for probably this last game where those guys got the 75 minutes? Are you guys happy with the amount of work that they got in?
Yeah, I think, and we're awfully detail orientated when it comes to tracking the fitness, not just over the course of this preseason, but over the course of the last few years. And it's easy to tell from a statistical standpoint that the players are much fitter. Now, that's only one aspect of the game, and we know that the real rubber meets the road when you find out what kind of team you have on game one and whether we can actually play the game. We can run, we can compete, but can we play the game? And it's about integrating all of that into achieving the final result. So preseason is meant to kind of establish an identity, to get yourself fit enough to be able to compete at the MLS level, which we know is just getting better and better each year. And so I think we're happy from that standpoint, from the physical standpoint. We have a lot of new players coming into the lineup that still trying to form our identity, but there's very few teams in this league, if any, right now that you would say are clear-cut on their identity, know exactly what kind of team they're going to have going into this year. There's very few teams. And so I think we find ourselves with new players, but a renewed freshness with the players that are coming back. And I think that's probably one of the causes for excitement and from our end, that we still have a project to build. We still have an identity, I think, to build, but we have some eager players that are ready to go.
We're visiting with Kerry Zavagnin, and so you covered a couple of things there about the improved quality of the league overall and the fact that you guys went out, you said in the offseason, we're going to add on every line of the team. And you brought in three defenders. You brought in Gadi Kinda in the midfield. You brought in Kyrie and, of course, Alan Pulido, who was a record signing in the attack. How difficult or easy or just could you describe what the process of trying to integrate those guys into that system has been through preseason this year?
Well, I think we've attacked it from two angles. One is we tried to increase the competitiveness of our roster, and part of that, and I feel like we're harping on fitness right now, but it was a real focal point so that we would be able to compete in the league. We broke apart last year, and I think part of that was due to the scheduling and the Champions League. We saw a team that physically fell apart last year, and so that was one area that we needed to address before we even brought in the players that you just spoke about. So To bring that into the mix and then add a new group of players or key players that we're bringing into the group, it's been a bit of a balancing act. So I think we're at the point right now where we're not the finished product, but we do have a lot of great pieces to work with. And as I keep going back to it, I think we have players that have been here before that want to prove themselves again. I think we have players that are coming into the league. I know there's a lot riding on Pulido. There's a lot of expectation from Kinda. Puncic is a player that's establishing himself. Reed has come in recently. So there's a lot of players that are coming into the group that want to prove themselves. But it's about finding, again, that identity of how the biggest strengths that they're bringing to the team kind of mesh with the existing players.
Yeah, and we've talked, Nate, about that, watching on the sidelines and in games, and just whether it's Matt Beisler or Graham, Ilya, guys who, Roger even, who have some years on them, we'll say.
Yeah.
And maybe towards the end of last year, you know, they faded a bit. They just look really sharp to me in training. I don't know if you guys have noticed that as well, just with even passing drills and everything. I felt like those guys especially were helping the new guys adapt and getting up to speed. But it might be, like you said, that competition kind of has inspired those guys as well.
Yeah, and look, they're multi-year winning champions. And you look at last year, and I hate to reflect on back last year or talk about last year, but you can learn a lot from it. And I think those individuals that you speak about have a lot of pride, and they're winners. They've proven it over the course of their time here. So I and we didn't expect anything different of how they were going to come back. Yeah, they're getting a little bit longer in the tooth, if you will, but they have plenty left in them to be able to not only compete but to thrive in this league and to bring in the assistance with some of the key players that we've been talking about. We hope that's the kind of magic formula that will not only bring them back to a level which we're accustomed to seeing, but take the team to a new level that we didn't see last year.
You and I have had some conversations, Kerry, about this shifting landscape in MLS. And it's always been a changing landscape because the league's been growing pretty much ever since day one. And that process, if anything, just seems to have accelerated over the last 3 to 4 years. I'm trying to figure out if I were in your shoes and I'm trying to evaluate guys, you have to evaluate them on a league that you haven't seen yet, right? Like when we talk about 15 different clubs that have made record signings, and that's not to mention all the other players they've brought into the league, this is going to be a different league this year than it even was just a year ago, right? Is that a challenge just in terms of evaluating? I'm not evaluating this guy whether or not he can play in last year's league. I'm evaluating him based on a league that we haven't even really had a chance to see yet.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that goes for both domestic and international players. I mean, when you're developing academy players, you know, a couple of years ago you'd say, yeah, this player has the ability to get to MLS. But now you completely change, and you have to predict a few years out with the younger players and the acquisitions that you're bringing in. Each and every year, I mean, the experience that we've had with having players presented to our club, the filtering process of kind of weighing whether a player can fit in our club, can fit in our league. I mean, you keep raising the bar year after year, and to look at these players coming in and to give them multi-year contracts, we have to realize that not only do you have to be good when you come in, you have to be really, really good when you come in, because the league's taking off. And you know, if a player comes in and he doesn't improve his level when he comes in, he'll be out of the league very quickly, because, as you say, it's getting better and better every year. But that's a great sign, I think, for all of us, for people that cover the league, for the fans, for the coaches, for the players. And I don't take ourselves out of it from the position that we have as coaches, that there are better coaches coming in this league. So that aspect exists in all levels, in all sectors of our game.
Yeah, that's got to be exciting to you, who's, I know you're involved a lot on the scouting end, and now maybe it's that different level of player that you guys can go after. Peter said it a bunch in the media, where now you guys are in that world, and hopefully every player hits. But it's just that new type of player and a better player that now maybe you guys weren't in the market for 5 years ago that now you guys are.
It's true. And granted, as the teams, more and more teams come into this league, the competition for the players obviously intensifies. But that also asks and demands that your scouting department becomes that much more robust, because I remember when we first started this, it was myself, Pete, and maybe Zoran that were having players presented to us, and we could kind of filter through that relatively quickly, because the standard was at a level that any players that were presented to us you know, you could pick and probably hit on a few of them that would actually work. And more that we see, we have to be very specific about the kinds of players that we bring into this league. And that requires, I think, a scouting network that enables you to go seek the players out and not just have agents and people present you players. And I think that's the next evolution of our league from an investment standpoint, is the scouting departments on top of the already increased spending on the player front.
We're visiting with Kerry Zavagnin as Sporting Kansas City get ready to take on the Vancouver Whitecaps on the road to open up 2020 MLS play Saturday night, 9:30. You can listen to the game on Sports Radio 810 WHB and, of course, watch it on Fox Sports Kansas City with myself and Jacob on the call. Let's get into it. First game of the year, and you're seeing another familiar face. You saw Mark Dos Santos a couple of times last year, and he's still trying to put his fingerprints on that Vancouver team. I'm curious, when you watched him last year, were you able to see much of the, hey, yeah, that's a Mark Dos Santos team, or was that still him trying to – I mean, look, he was trying to rebuild something in Vancouver. How much of his fingerprints are already on that Vancouver program as you see it?
Well, I think if you pay attention, you can see him molding the team into his view. They've had a lot of really good pieces. Like we talk about, many teams have added great pieces this year. So I think that's one aspect. I think the identity of his team is improved from last year. So to get that year under his belt, although they didn't have a great season like ourselves, I think he was building a project. He was building up to this year. So we expect a team that's going to be much better. It's funny, when you go into the first game, it's almost like – the first game, yeah, everyone has high expectations, but you really don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
And the intensity of the game, or the frantic nature of the game, is almost like a playoff game. And then you kind of settle into the season. So we're going on the road, tough environment, playing on turf, playing against a team that is just as determined to prove themselves from last year. So the expectations coming to this game is it's going to be fast, it's going to be frantic, it's going to be hectic. There are going to be mistakes on both sides like there are in any opening game, but certainly a very competitive environment that we're going into this weekend.
Yeah, you nailed that when you said it does almost feel like a playoff game just because it's so hectic. Every single team thinks this is our year, we're going to win the MLS Cup.
Yeah.
Obviously that sorts itself out.
Yeah.
But they obviously have brought in a lot of new players. Lucas Cavallini up top is their kind of marquee forward, their Polito, if you will.
Yeah.
Is there anything that watching him and scouting them that you guys, you know, without giving away the game plan or anything, that you guys see in how they're trying to play?
He scores goals. I mean, it's really that simple. And there's really not a way that we're going to prepare ourselves to say this is exactly how he scored goals. He's an opportunistic guy, and his profile physically fits to a T of what our league is. He's hungry. He works hard off the ball, and it's not to single him out with the rest of the group, because Reyna and the group, he's always been a good player in this league. Needed a partner to work with up there, and now he has one. So other new pieces that they've added in, their wing play has been impressive in the off season, and they're, as we were talking about with Mark's image of what his team is, for this part of the season, they're relatively organized. So defensively, they're stout. They're tough to beat. They get numbers back and behind the ball, and so all of those pieces are a challenge for us as we go into the first game.
Yeah, and Freddie Montero looks like he's coming off the bench, and 3 years ago he was. 5 years ago, whatever it was, he was one of the leading goal scorers in the league.
Yeah, and that's pointing to, we shouldn't sleep on the other aspects that they have, because if Montero, who's been a key player in this league in the past and has shown flashes of it in each and every game that he plays in, when you take him for granted, or any other player in this league for granted, you usually get burned. So we're well aware of what he can bring to the table as well, and we're looking forward to the challenge.
It's going to be a lot of fun, though. I think the West is going to be as competitive as ever again this year. And it starts on Saturday against the Vancouver Whitecaps. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk with one of those, I guess we'll call it a new face. He's a familiar face and a new face all at the same time. Kyrie Shelton will join us on the show next. This is the Sporting Kansas City Show. Yeah. The Sporting Kansas City Show continues on Sports Radio 810 WHB and wherever you get your podcasts. We're getting you ready for the season opener, Sporting Kansas City against the Vancouver Whitecaps on Saturday night, 9:30 on Fox Sports Kansas City and the Fox Sports Go app. And, of course, right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB as well. Nate Bucati along with Jacob Peterson. Our thanks to Kerry Zavagnin for joining us on the last segment. And now, like I teased moments ago, we're joined by a new face and a familiar face all at the same time because he's back, baby. Kyrie Shelton, after a year in Germany, is back with Sporting Kansas City, and we're glad to have him here. Kyrie, man, thanks for joining us. How you doing?
I'm doing quite well. Thanks for having me.
So you had a smile on your face when I said all that. You were a key part to a Sporting Kansas City team in 2018 that finished first place in the Western Conference. You go to Germany. You have a good year there. You get up to the Bundesliga one, and now you're back. Tell me, first of all, just what your thoughts are now that you've been through camp, you're back here in Kansas City, you've been in Arizona and everything. How does it feel to be back in Kansas City with the Sporting Kansas City shirt on?
It's an amazing feeling. You know, before I left this place, I called it home. And, you know, that's what I came back to, is home. So yeah, it's good to be back and be around all the guys and, you know, the staff as well. Yeah, and we're just ready to get started.
Yeah, Kyrie, when you were over in Germany, we spoke about it a little bit a couple weeks ago, but were you following the team, Sporting, from afar, or were you paying any attention to MLS, or were you just focusing on what you had to do over there in Germany?
No, I was definitely following Sporting. MLS, not so much. But, yeah, I kept in touch with a lot of the guys. And, you know, after the games in the beginning of the season, I was, like, congratulating them, you know, keep working hard, keep doing your stuff. And when they also the games kind of turned the other way, I also was there trying to encourage them, like, you got to keep going, you know.
Good guy.
But yeah, this is my family and these are my guys.
Yeah. So I'm interested. How did that go? Like when you, at the end of 2018, and everybody has their exit meetings and everything. How did that go with Peter and Kerry and Z and the staff? Did you kind of tell them you wanted to explore another option?
Yeah. It was you know, it was the fourth year. My fourth year in MLS, and obviously that was the end of my contract. So yeah, I had a talk with Peter about what my next move may be, and you know, he was very, very open and you know, straightforward with me. You know, I told him if I don't take this opportunity, you never know if I'll have it again, and then I'll be regretting it the rest of my life. So you know, he was very open about it, and yeah, I just sat down and had a good conversation.
So you go to SC Paderborn, you earn promotion to the top flight of the Bundesliga. You got appearances, you got to play against Bayern Munich. Describe the whole experience for me. How would you describe that year now that you took that opportunity?
It was a growing year, a year of growth. Wasn't my best year, you know. It was difficult for me in a lot of ways, in terms of playing and stuff like that. But I would say, you know, I was able to challenge myself, especially with not playing as much as I wanted to. So yeah, I would definitely say it was a growing year for me.
When you say it was difficult, what was the most difficult part?
Not given the opportunity to play and showcase myself. You know, I think that was the biggest thing. And as a player, every player wants to play. I know that. But, you know, you work hard and you ask questions, and they're never those questions that are never answered. You start to like dig deeper, and you know, you start to get in your head a bit, and yeah, it just goes, just gets out of control. So yeah.
I've always heard different stories from players that have gone overseas, and I'm sure every experience is different. Every club, every league is different, but you hear a lot of times about how you're welcomed as an American player or not welcomed when you go into a locker room by the players, by the coaches. What was that part of the experience like for you?
Yeah, I mean, right away, the players, you know, I think I'm an easy guy to get along with. I didn't say much. I just keep my head down. So the players welcomed me right away. The coaches, the head coach, not so much. The assistant coaches were, yeah, they were cool with me, but the head coach, I don't know. There was something going on between him and I that I couldn't figure out, especially, yeah, now that I'm here. I mean, I've thought about it time and time again, trying to figure out what went wrong, but you know, that's a question that will never be answered, and hey, that's fine with me.
That's life, right?
Yeah.
So then, I guess, how then has that experience kind of changed you? You know, are you a different person, different player now, or you still think that you have some of those same qualities that obviously were very successful in 2018?
Yeah, I think I've improved and gained qualities. After this experience, you know, I was able to go through this tough time, but also push myself and not get down. You know, I think that's a challenge for a lot of players, and players who've been through that, they know, and I'm sure they would say the same thing. But yeah, I think I bring more to the table now, and I'm more diverse player, versatile player now than when I was here in 2018.
Yeah.
Matt Beisler told me when we had him on my morning show a few weeks ago, he said, Kyrie Shelton's been the best guy in camp. He said they obviously really appreciated you and thought you were a great player 2 years ago when you were here, but they said, Matt said, this guy's come back with a different set of confidence or something since he came back from Germany. Is it confidence? Is it something else? Like what changed, and maybe why?
Yeah, I mean, I would just have to say the experience piece to it, you know. When you haven't been given an opportunity, like I mentioned, you know, it changes you in a way, and it makes you see the game from a different angle, different perspective. So I was able to grasp that when I was there, and knowing that I wasn't going to get an opportunity, and you know, now I have that, and just continue to push myself and, you know, be more selfish. I think that's another thing. I'm still, people look at me as the unselfish guy, but I think now I'm trying to take things more into my own reins and do that.
A little bit of an edge. It sounds like you maybe developed a little bit of an edge. Mm.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say? Yeah, that's fair.
And I'm still adapting and trying to fine tune that piece. It's gonna come along, I feel, pretty shortly. But yeah, it's something continue to work on day by day.
Well, I know I'm glad that you're back. I told you before, but I was a big fan of yours even before you came to Sporting when you were with New York City. How has camp kind of been for you? Not only Matt Beisler said that, but we've heard that from other guys that, you know, you've been sharp in camp as now that you're back here. We were just talking before we came on, but what do you think your team and you developed while you guys were down in Arizona?
You know, it's preseason, so it's just a lot of adapting, but, you know, it's pretty much the same group with same group of guys that were here in 2018 and some extra added players that bring very good qualities to the team. So, you know, it's just about getting back together and getting into rhythm. Obviously, there's not enough time in preseason to get the complete package. So, but it's been fun. We've learned a lot as a group, and you know, people look at preseason and the games as like they look at these games like they're a huge deal, and sometimes they are. But you know, there was challenges that Peter gave us during these games in preseason that we accomplished, and the winning pieces weren't there, but the getting forward, defending as a team, we did those pieces. So it's been fun, and I know the guys enjoyed it.
Yeah, and that's what I said on the air, Nate and I said on the air, is that, yeah, you want to win every game, and right, the results matter to some degree, but for me it's about the performances. Right. And I thought overall the performances in those games were really positive.
Right, yeah, and I mean we created – opportunities, you know, and it's just that final piece that we're missing. But it, like I said, it takes a little bit of time, and it's gonna come together.
Yeah, of course.
We're visiting with Kyrie Shelton, and in 2018 we saw you almost exclusively playing the number nine, playing that central striker. And I know you played on the wing when you were in New York. We've seen you mostly on the wing so far in the preseason when we were down in Arizona. How do you like it? Like, what? Maybe tell me what you like about playing on the wing, and how different is it for you doing that job right now than playing up top?
It's not. I wouldn't say it's different in certain ways. I enjoy it. I mean, it fits a lot of my qualities as a player. A lot of wing players on the wing, they have speed. You know, they like to run at guys. That's what I love to do. So, you know, I think I will be able to help this team playing on the wing, but I'm also very open to any other position Peter is willing to put me in, and, you know, just want to be here to help.
Yeah, and certainly with, you said most wingers are smaller, tricky type of guys.
Yeah.
But we've seen over the years in MLS some very successful wingers who were bigger guys, whether it was here at Sporting, Kai Kamara, CJ Sapong, even Jordan Morris, Andrew Wenger for a few years there with Philadelphia, guys who are bigger but also can run at guys. So it's almost like a mismatch in a way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure, especially with my physicality, my size. Yeah, everything. I mean, it all plays a part, and I feel like there's tons of, you know, I feel like a lot of guys, when they see me in the league, they, especially when they're on the wing, they know they're going to have a challenge, and it's going to be a tough one because I'm gonna run. So
you're already in their head before.
Yeah. Hey, as a little guy myself, you know, I can identify, you know, when you see somebody that's like a foot taller than you coming at you, I better strap on the chin strap, you know, be ready to go. The thing I noticed from you in camp too, though, is, you know, when we talk about those big guys that have played in that position in the past, CJ and Teal and Kai, they would get up the field and press guys and take the ball away. And I saw you do the first game we did, the RSL game. You must have had four or five takeaways in the first half. Are you enjoying that aspect of the job too?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big part of the game I still have to work on, especially being a winger. It's different type of pressing. You know, it's a timing thing, and you know, I'm still working on that to get that down so I can almost perfect it, so I can help the guys on the field, you know, so it makes it easier for them. But yeah, it's been fun. Defending is not — any attacking player would say it.
Right.
Nobody wants to defend, but yeah, I think if I'm able to get it down, yeah, it's definitely going to help the team.
Yeah. How is, as a former winger, how's that? I know how important that relationship is with the outside back. How has that been going along with you and Graham so far?
Oh, it's been great. I mean, he's very, very intelligent, you know, and he communicates really well with me and lets me know what I need to be doing or where I should be positioned, and you know, it helps a lot. And you know, just all around great guy and great player as well. So you know, it makes it easy for me. I don't have to do too much thinking because he's doing it for me.
It's one of the best to have behind you, right?
Yeah.
That's a good, that sounds like a good deal.
Roger inside. That's a good little triangle right there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
So we've got Kyrie Shelton with us. We'll wrap things up with this. It's the season opener. In the last segment, Kyrie and Jacob were both talking a little bit about the frenzy that is that first game of the year. Every team in the league thinks, hey, this could be our year. You guys are obviously no different. Can you describe for us just what it will feel like for you after that year, the frustrating year, as you described it in Germany, to be back here and to be out on that field on Saturday night in a regular season game? What will your emotions be like? What will it be like playing in this game on Saturday night?
Yeah, it's the first game is always it's always quite energetic in a way. You know, people are running around, kicking each other, doing this and that. But yeah, it sets the tone, you know, for the rest of the season, I believe. And you get to see where the opponent, opposition, what they bring to the table and what you have to look forward to later on too. So, you know, if you set the tone right away, and other teams are going to be like, wow, all right, we're going to have a problem with this team. So I think it's a big one. It definitely helps, especially for confidence-wise. You know, you want to start the beginning of the season quite well and get those points early on. So when you come to summertime, especially here when it's hot, you know, you can not take your foot off the gas, but you know, you can grind through that and you know, come to the last part of the season and get through that and be good, you know. So I think, yeah, the first game definitely is a tone setter, and we're excited.
I can tell by the smile on your face that you're really excited for this. And I can tell you, Jacob and I aren't the only ones. I think pretty much everybody in Kansas City is really excited that you're back. And we're excited for Saturday night. Kyrie, thanks so much for the time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
All right, that is Kyrie Shelton. We'll be back to wrap things up on this edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show right after this. And we're back to wrap things up on this edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show. Nate Bucati along with Jacob Peterson. Our thanks to Kyrie Shelton for joining us on the show in the last segment. And now, Jacob, it's time for us to turn our attention to the Vancouver Whitecaps. And this is, as we kind of talked about, a matchup of two teams who finished in the bottom two spots in the Western Conference standings last year. But I feel like they're coming into 2020 in some different spots. Listening to the front office people with the Whitecaps, they did a hard reset going into last year, and they're just now trying to start to build things and accumulate that identity and maybe take a step forward this year. I feel like for Sporting Kansas City, it's more about last year was an aberration. We know this was a good team. We think this still can be a very good team, a title-contending team. We've supplemented that core group of guys, and we expect to make a big bounce back. Is that fair to categorize these two teams in those different lights?
Yeah, that's spot on. Even though they finished close in the standings last year, I think it's kind of two very different approaches going into this year. On Vancouver's side, yes, it's almost like a retooling completely. They got rid of a lot of the guys that they brought in last offseason. It's almost like a fresh start. Mm-hmm. For Mark Dos Santos up there, where with Sporting, they kept a lot of that core that just through tired legs with Champions League and some injuries, things didn't quite go right. But they also added a bunch of really exciting pieces. So like we said with Kerry and Kyrie, this first game is always kind of crazy. So I don't know if you can really gauge anything long-term about it, but Kyrie said it, to get started with a win or a good performance is huge to build confidence throughout the rest of the season.
And at the same time, we will obviously always overreact to the first game of the season. In any sport, that is the case. Last year, Sporting played against LAFC in the first regular season game, and it was a really close game. LAFC won on basically the last kick of the ball, but I remember walking out of there, and most people thought, these are the two best teams in the West. Well, one of those teams turned out to be that way, and it didn't go that way for Sporting Kansas City. So I'll go ahead and waste my breath by telling everybody not to put too much stock into this game, win or lose. What about the players, though? Do the players – you've been in that situation for so many years. Do they put too much emphasis on the first game, or do they have a better perspective on, hey, man, this is just one out of 34?
I think it's, again, if you if your preseason goes well, it's that same type of thing. If you win all the games, yeah, it's great. We're winning. Winning's contagious. If you lose, oh, it's just the first game of the season. You know, we'll get on the right foot. So, man, I don't know. I've been in 2012 where we won our first seven games of the season here in Kansas City, and that was – it was you won the first game. It was contagious. You were confident. You won the second game, and it just kind of flowed that way. But then I've also was in Atlanta my last year where expansion team, the buzz is all around us. There was great players, obviously, on that Atlanta team, and we just came out and kind of laid an egg in the home opener. And then we go to the next game, and we beat Minnesota 5-1 or 6-1 or something like that. So I don't know. It's, yes, you want to build on it, but I think the players kind of realize that it's one game out of a 34-game season, and it's not going to make or break you. But obviously, you want to win the first one and get on that roll like we did in 2012 with Sporting.
So this Vancouver Whitecaps team, led by Mark Dos Santos, as we mentioned, they've overhauled a lot of things themselves in this offseason. Does it make it difficult if you're Sporting Kansas City to try to scout a team like that that's got so much new personnel coming in?
Absolutely. That is – it's a difficult thing, talking to the coaches – and just seeing what their identity is going to be. How are they going to play? Are they going to try to build out of the back? Are they going to kick the ball long into their strong target forward, Cavallini, to hold it up and bring other guys in the game that way? You don't really know. Are they going to bomb forward with their fullbacks? Are they going to have a defensive mid drop in to kind of give them cover? You don't really know that stuff. You can watch preseason games, but again, maybe they were trying to work on a certain objective that game. So you can't really tell until you get into the regular season. That being said, I know how much these guys scout here in Kansas City, and they're going to know exactly what Mark Dos Santos and that coaching staff is going to do up there.
So meanwhile, we always hear from Peter Vermes that he's much more concerned with how his team performs in executing their game plan than the other team. Is there any comfort level that you take in that when you're going up against a team you don't know that well, that we're really more focused on our approach to this game? And is that going to be the case for Sporting on Saturday night?
Yeah, that's such a cliche that's used in sports, but it's accurate. If you, yes, you scout the other team, but ultimately if you execute your game plan, you're going to be the better team on the day. It doesn't mean necessarily that you're always going to win, but you put yourself in the best position to win. So I'm sure that's what Peter will be saying to the guys this week. You know, we've got a lot of unknowns. I mean, it's just like if you're going into a midweek game in August, there might be some rotation of guys on the other team. So you don't necessarily focus on them as much as you focus on yourself and the game plan. So I'm sure that's what they'll be working on this week. And look, they've kind of had their identity, Sporting has, for a long time. So I don't think we're going to see too much change from kind of that they've had for the last, you know, 3 or 4 years now.
Well, the old metaphor, birthdays or Christmas, whatever, you're waiting around. You've seen that present under the tree for quite some time, and you're just waiting to open it up and see what is inside. And I think that's how we all feel about this Sporting Kansas City team now. There's all kinds of new pieces on this team to supplement with that great core of players. And now we just want to see it all come together on the field. We finally get to on Saturday night. That's going to do it for this edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show. Jacob, we'll see you Saturday night. We're on the call for this one.
I know. I'm excited. Go easy on me, everybody. It's my first real go at it.
Hey, you got preseason in too now, so you're 90 minutes match fit as a commentator now.
Maybe like 75.
Yeah, 75 right? Minutes. We can't sub you off in this one, though. You got to go the distance. That's Jacob Peterson. Hey, you can watch us on Fox Sports Kansas City on the Fox Sports Go app. You can listen on Sports Radio 810 WHB Saturday night when Sporting Kansas City take on the Vancouver Whitecaps. And we will see you again next week on another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show.